This is the National Finance Committee meeting for Tuesday, March the 10th, 2020. We have a quorum present, so Mr. Secretary, can you take the roll?
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
Here. Excuse me, here.
Okay. Nick Arena.
Here.
Teresa J. Allen.
Here.
Fred Blair.
Here.
Chris Corey.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Mansoor Sabah. James Sackerton. Ada Sims.
Here.
Nancy Sorden. Okay, that's eight, and that is a quorum.
Okay. So I'm presuming everybody got the version of the minutes I sent an hour ago and the update to change the numbering and the wording slightly that I sent out about 15 minutes ago. But just in case anybody doesn't have it, I'll read it through. Convene meeting at 8:30 Eastern. Roll call. Approve agenda. Item four is minutes approval. I got minutes, I believe, yesterday. So we have that. And then item five is the status and standing of our audits and a discussion, if we need it. And item six is services formula discussion. I sent a spreadsheet earlier today on that with the revision suggested from last time. Item seven is central services current standing from Anita and discussion. That is based on a statement that Anita provided us with earlier today. Cash flow update, which came in just a short time ago with Anita and Netta, and that's item eight, and then any new business, and an adjournment time of 10:15 Eastern time. Are there any additions or changes to the agenda that anyone would like to make? Hearing none, I move that we adopt this agenda. Are there any objections to adopting the agenda as read? Hearing none, our first item, go ahead, sorry. Was that somebody speaking up? No? Okay. So the first item up after agenda approval is minutes approval. I'm assuming that nobody has any, does anybody have any changes or additions to minutes as proposed?
Well, nobody's proposed it yet. I move to approve the minutes. By the way, I have two sets because I sent one a couple of days ago and I sent one today. So I move to approve the February 11th. The February 11th minutes.
All right. Are there any objections to approving the February 11th minutes? Hearing none, the February 11th minutes are approved. You have a second one, R. Paul?
Yeah, the next one is to approve the February 25th minutes.
All right. Are there any additions or changes to those minutes that anybody would like to make? Hearing none, does anyone object to the minutes as presented? All right, hearing no objections, minutes are also approved. And that brings us to our next item up. Do we have our auditors on the phone?
Good evening, yes, I am on the line.
Okay, wonderful. If you wouldn't mind introducing yourself and just giving us an update on where the audits stand and anything that's necessary from us in order to complete audits that are outstanding at this juncture, I would appreciate it.
No, absolutely. My name is George or Jorge Diaz. I go by either or. I'm with Rogers & Company. I'm a partner in the audit practice. We're based out as just so for those who haven't been on these calls before, we're based out of Tysons Corner, right outside of Washington D.C. And we operate and we are strictly focused on the nonprofit or tax-exempt world. So, you know, we specialize in auditing nonprofits. The Pacifica Foundation, this is our second audit with them. You know, we did complete the 9/30/17 audit last year. The FY18 audit has been ongoing for a number of months. Really where we are at this point is we have exchanged many lists and a lot of questions and answers with the folks from NEDA, your outsourced consultants. They've been great to work with, and I think it's a matter of just it's taking a little bit longer to close this one out just because we're still waiting on a few items and some answers to some questions for some of the various radio stations. So that's always been a struggle from what I understand, you know, just compiling all the information as it is decentralized. And, you know, really once we get the answers to our outstanding questions, we can, you know, we can move forward with closing out this process and looking to start the fiscal year 19 audit. I understand recently that Eileen has been involved as well to try and track down some of the last few remaining items. And, of course, Anita and George Walter, they've been integral in trying to close out the process. So it's too early to tell in terms of what's going to be, you know, any preliminary conclusions or anything of that nature. We will still have some form of recommendations as we did in our previous audit, but we're a little too early to in the process to be able to really speculate in terms of what will be in that results letter. But certainly, once we close this audit process out, you know, we'll circulate the financial statements along with the results letter, so that you all may see what our findings were and our results and our recommendations and. You know, also commenting on areas of improvement that we've seen since the previous audit. So it's a work in progress, and I'm looking forward to closing out the process in this audit once we do get the remaining items from the radio stations as well as from NEDA.
All right, thank you. I'm assuming that there'll be a pretty good stack for this. So we'll move on to any questions our members may have here, our directors may have here. Who would like to go first?
Bill?
Nobody? Okay, Bill, go ahead. Or Paul.
Thank you, Jorge. Thank you so much for your patience in dealing with Pacifica. I don't know if you could be, in order for us to help you get information you need, if you could be more specific about which stations are you still needing information from and what kind of information? And perhaps, I don't know if you could send it to Chris Corey, our chair, you could send it along to us so that we could talk to our individual management of our stations, if that would help. And also, the other part of the other question was, how much do we still owe you? How much are we behind on paying Rogers?
I can answer that one first. You actually, it's only about $6,500. I think $6,550 is outstanding. And, you know, we're happy to wait to collect that until we're closer to finalizing. So not a huge concern that that is an outstanding invoice. As for what specifically is open, I mean, you know, the biggest stations that are probably where the most is due is, of course, the KPFA Berkeley. Does have a number of items, as well as WPFW DC station, and you know I'm happy to circulate any of these lists or these open items to anyone who may you know be able to help track them down. Again, I know Eileen Rosen's been trying to help as well, and I'll kind of you know George Walter and Anita from NEDA have these lists, and I'm. You know, I'll kind of leave it to them in terms of who they do want to circulate this to, because, of course, you know, many hands makes a burden light, and I'm always happy to include this. But I don't want to. I also don't want to kind of circulate it to too many folks, because don't want to be stepping on any toes or having too many cooks in the kitchen, for lack of a better phrase. But a lot of the support, you know, there's items where there's questions where we need answers. There's a couple reports we need that'll trigger a couple of new samples. And then there's just some basic, you know, invoices and expenses and some cash receipts, expense reimbursement, transactional type items that we're just waiting on to essentially corroborate the transaction and the amount so that we can and then get comfort over that account balance. So I know it didn't get too detailed there, but, you know, again, I'm happy to help circulate this list out to whoever you think would be a relevant party.
Okay, thanks, Chuck, because we would like to help if we can.
Yeah, thank you
and
very
Lou,
much.
And Lou, Anita.
Fred for the stack.
I just wanted to add one.
Fred, okay, I got you. Go ahead, Anita.
I was just going to add that Eileen was able to get some information for us. So I think that list certainly is smaller than it was. George is in the process of disseminating what has come in, and then we can do a new list of what is still outstanding.
Okay, thanks, Anita.
But the patients did respond.
Sharon for the stack.
Okay, Sharon, I got you. R. Paul?
Yeah, okay. Now you did the FY17 audit, I believe, right? And when did you get that one done? That was a while ago, wasn't it?
That was finalized in late June 2019.
Right. And so since then, you've been working on the FY18 one, which means the FY18 one is 5.5 months in getting done. Now, I believe that for FY19, which is something that would be really good if we could get, the deadline is the end of June at this point. And so that's just like, you know, a few months away. It's a lot shorter than what's the time that's been taken between to get the FY18 audit done. So I guess I have two questions, one of which is, when do you project getting the FY18 audit done? And is it going to be possible to get the FY19 audit done by the end of June?
Basically, once we get the remaining items from the list, I would imagine we could close out FY18 audit within, you know, a couple weeks of receiving those items. Now, so it really just depends on when we're able to get those last open items and questions to answers to our questions. As for trying to complete the FY19 audit by the end of June, it's really we're only focused on the FY18 numbers right now. I don't know where that stands, and that'd probably be a better question to see, you know, has the year been closed out, and what, you know, are the 9/30 financials, you know, in good shape to be audited? So I can't really speak to that right now. But, you know, certainly, you know, there's always been a lag or just, you know, timing issues in terms of getting all the audits. First, you know, getting all the financial statements and transactions together from the various stations. And then, essentially, once we do have our initial list, and after we do our audit plan and our audit risk assessments, once we provide those samples out to you all, to your staff, and to obviously to the consultants, you know, having getting those, because they're all, you know, they're going to, you know, 9 different places, getting those all substantiated and then back to headquarters for them to be able to put in a form that are, you know, readable by us. That's always just taking some time just because the logistics is very hard to do. So I can't really speak to that. And I think maybe George Walter and Anita could speak maybe as to where they are in closing the fiscal year 19 year end down.
Okay.
I can't.
Anita, would you like to?
Yes.
Would you like a little bit?
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
First of all, we are current as of January, so we are processing through that. We will have February, the next couple months. So for us, 2019, since we've been involved most of the year, should go fairly quickly. I've had more staff on it doing analysis, doing reconciliation. Obviously, for us, the same thing that we talked last month, because of the difficulty of working under two accounting platforms, that is part of the process. Obviously, it takes just longer, but we are committed to wrapping up the audit, the 18 and 19, on a timely basis, which we don't have a choice. We really need to.
Okay.
If I might respond as well.
Go ahead.
Fred. George Walter here. A lot of it were at the mercy of the stations. We didn't get a lot of that FY18, even initial analysis from some stations until November. And these are items that should have been done probably in a normal business October of 18, right after year end. So we're a bit at the mercy of the stations if they're not caught up on their own work or not cooperating with answering of questions. But that being said, things are cleaner than 17. 18 was quite a mess because the CFO and his number two both left in the spring, probably just past halfway through the year. And so, and they were a year and a half behind on a lot of their work when they left. So 18 was kind of a mess. So even with that final, I still have about 105 adjusting entries just in the audited trial balance. And so once we're done and the audit is finalized, those entries need to be entered into FY18, and that will create an opening entry for 19. And we already have a provisional opening entry there, and so that will need to be reversed. So we're just going to be replacing a lot of numbers for the beginning of 19 with the actual audited beginning numbers. So there is a bit of a process, but then it's hopeful that the stations can be responsive, and they've already been warned. They kind of know the drill in terms of what is requested every year. So hopefully they can be on top of that. But like I said, these 105 entries do change a few beginning balances. So it's hard to really finalize the 19 work until 18 is finalized.
Got it. Thank you, George. Fred?
Mm-hmm.
Well, ARPOL beat me to the questions on the FY19 audit. I do have one question for the auditor. Have you signed the contract with Pacifica so that you're all ready to go on with the FY19 audit?
I don't believe so, no. I mean, we typically don't look at the contracts until the year under contract, the audit is closed out. So we do not have the 20, we have not circulated the 2019 engagement letter yet.
I see. So that's really all I have to ask at this point. I think all the answers for the audit, FY19 audit, have been fulfilled. Thank you.
Thanks, Fred. Sharon?
Yes. Hi. I just wanted to say, introduce myself to, I guess, everyone. Well, the people that don't know me, but I am the treasurer from KPFA. So I think it was George Diaz was saying that you need information from KPFA. So, if you, Chris has my email, so you could email Chris and he can maybe email me and then I can help you get the information you need.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. That's great. So I appreciate that. And looking forward to, getting this closed out and, moving on to FY19 and getting FY19 going and close out as soon as possible. So, thank you for that, Sharon. And, look forward to working with you.
Okay, great.
Okay. We have time for probably one final question here. Who was that?
It was Alan.
Oh, hi, Alan. Yeah, Teresa. Go ahead.
So you said that there were problems getting information from KPFA and problems getting information from WCFW, and Anita said that she had some of that information. So maybe you're I'm just wondering, first of all, I'm wondering how much money this is costing because some people are dragging their feet while they're drawing paychecks. And are these people still drawing paychecks while they're not giving information to NESA and not giving information to the auditors? I'm hoping that if it's my station, I would like somebody to tell me right now and tell me specifically what you're waiting on, and I'm hoping that whoever you are, if your station business manager is accountable, that you're on it tomorrow. Getting this money, and we can't get money from PPP until we get these audits caught up. Can't get to 2019 until we get 2018, and I don't know that it's a priority with people. And there's I want some accountability. I'm very, very frustrated. I'm willing to do what it takes to talk to the interim general manager at KPFT. We're dragging our feet. Don't put any names, but I'm hoping that it's a high priority with you because I'm tired of people complaining and then nobody wants to say the names of the people. Can't say, okay, well, this person is incompetent. Can't say it on the air here because this is a public meeting. But I would like to know how much extra money this has cost because we have not given 2018 money, the 2018 information that he said we should have had in November. Now, I'm wondering if somebody's been written up for that or if they're still an employee of the of Pacifica. So I'm gonna get more specific. If this is not resolved by our next meeting, I'm going to get more and more specific. Bless your heart. I love you, but this is not acceptable. And I appreciate everything Anita's doing. I appreciate everything our auditor's doing. I'd like to help you get it done as quickly as possible. I thank you for your skill set. Thank you.
Chris, may I comment on that?
Sure. So, we have, if you could take this in this section, unless we extend time, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, I'll be quick.
One
thing that I said, Eileen has collected some information for us. George has it as of now. It's not all of it, but it's some of it. As soon as we go through it and we check off what we have and what's still missing, we can then share that information. And I would say the same people that we have worked with for the past year and a half are still employed. So.
Okay. Thanks, Anita.
Bill with a quick question.
All right, Bill. We're actually at time right now, though.
Can I move to extend 3 minutes so we
sure.
can?
Okay. Is there any objection to extending for 3 minutes? Hearing none, we'll go for another 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. And this may be for both Anita and for Jorge. So some people are still saying that we'll get CPB funding next year, because, or even later this year, but before the loan is due, let's put it that way, the big loan, because they think we're going to get the FY19 audit done in time. Is there any chance at all of that happening?
This is George or Jorge Diaz. Typically, from how the process has gone historically, it could happen, but it really just depends on, how cooperative everyone is in trying to get all the information together. So it's hard for me to speak on that. I will say, in my experience, if one of my clients is ready to go, and if all the records are in one location or only a couple, you could essentially get an audit done from start to finish, within four to nine weeks. We'll just call it that. So, that's a pretty quick turnaround, and that's a very clean client who has everything, essentially ready, and also doesn't have, records in nine different locations like you all do. So there's some inherent difficulties with this setup because all the stations are responsible for their own separate lists. So to that end, it could be done, but that would just require a lot of coordination to get all the records and all the samples that we're requesting back to us in a timely manner. And then also, we need to get through it very quickly and push the ball back into your all's court. So it could be done, but, I'm holding my breath a little bit just because this is only the second audit we're going through, and both of them have, taken a little bit of time. Now, I will say to Netta's point, since they've been involved for the entirety of FY19, I'm optimistic that it should go quicker and much cleaner in the past. But again, it's just really hard to say without, A, knowing the end point of this audit, and B, knowing, when we're going to be able to start that.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. And
thanks.
Mr. Chair. Part of personal privilege, I'm getting a huge amount of crackling on the line. Is anybody else getting that?
I'm hearing it, too.
Bill, I am. Yeah, me too.
So other people are, too, right?
Yes.
Yes?
Fred,
yeah, okay.
Fred,
I'm not
also
getting it on
James, then. Also, James Sagerton has just written in saying he can't get on the call. So maybe somebody could send him his code or whatever the problem is.
Please. I'm here, Paul. I got here a few minutes ago.
You got it. Okay, never mind.
Thank you, though. Okay. I appreciate
so
that.
It's crackly on this line. Okay.
Okay, thanks, Paul. If the crackling is emanating from here, I do have a rather lousy cell phone connection on my end. I can call back on a landline if it's persistent and if everyone thinks it might be me, because I'm not getting any crackling where I am. So I think that concludes item five. I'd certainly like the auditor to circle back, and maybe if not on the next meeting, on the one following it, just to give us a status update and make sure that the remaining items have been received, and we'll make sure that we get a list out to the stations that need to fulfill those obligations to complete that. So thanks. I really appreciate you being here, and we appreciate your work. Thank you.
Thank you all. Well, have a good rest of the meeting, and looking forward to closing it out, and I will be in touch. So thank you all. All right, bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item six is a central services formula discussion. So I sent a spreadsheet out with the suggestion that was made the last time, and I think probably a month previous to that, was that instead of using gross revenue numbers, that we use listener revenue numbers. And actually, it produced a pretty interesting and good result, something that we might be able to follow. I used a 3-year trailing average for revenues, listener revenues, for that row. And you can see the splits on it. The one thing that sort of stands out is that because their share of Pacifica's overall revenue has risen over the last few years, is taking a larger burden on in terms of central services using this particular method. But other than that, it seems to, I think it kind of, it looks like it makes sense to me. I'll just leave it at that. And if anybody else has pulled up that spreadsheet and on it, I'd be interested in hearing what anybody else had to say.
What is the name of the spreadsheet? What's the name of the file?
Hang on. I'll get it for you. I think interest is in the title. Like interest in central services formulas. Hold on. Pacifica interest in central services.
Okay, thank you.
I sent it at 2:36 Pacific time. So that would have been 3.5 hours ago. Yeah, 3.5 hours ago.
Bill for the stack.
Go ahead, Bill.
Thanks. And this kind of combines, this kind of goes with the next agenda item too, but you know, when we're trying to come up with formulas for what each station is going to pay, we need to figure out what's realistic. What can we expect? Or else we're just going to be in even more trouble at the end of the fiscal year, or probably even earlier. And just, you know, looking at the FY20 central services, for instance, that the spreadsheet that Anita sent us, and thank you, Anita, it shows we're 138,000 short to so far this fiscal year. That's through February for the first 5 months. And for last fiscal year, let me find that again here. We're 342,000 short. So, you know, is there any hope we can do better this fiscal year? And I'm guessing it's going to be harder because stations are having more trouble with fund drives. So we have to come up with some realistic expectations, or we're just making up imaginary numbers that aren't going to mean anything regarding the formulas for what each station is going to pay.
Yeah, I could respond to that. Certain stations, I think, can handle it. So it really is going to come down to the few stations that struggle with this issue. And unfortunately, I think at least one of those stations is being asked to contribute more, and that certainly could be a problem. If you look at, there's a number of issues that are being raised here that'll be addressed further on in this meeting. It almost seems like we should move this item down and circle back to it after we discuss these other items. I know we've already approved the agenda, but if we could continue this item until the new business section of this meeting, we might have a more fulsome and informed discussion about it. Robert's rules well enough to know what I have to do in order to make that happen. Maybe if our call can help me out here,
I
would appreciate it.
I think what you're trying to do is make a motion to postpone this item to new business.
That's what I'm doing.
I'll second that.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Alan. Does anybody have an objection to that idea? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to move item 5 to item business, and that'll move us right on to the central service current standing discussion. We got a spreadsheet out on that about an hour ago. Let me see if I can locate the name of that. It's updated central services and other payments is the name of that spreadsheet. And that was from Anita earlier on today. So everybody should have that. If somebody doesn't have it, let me know and I can forward it to you now. Sounds like everybody's got it. So I'll take a go ahead. Sorry,
Fred.
Is updated at the start of it.
I'm sorry, Arpal. Can you repeat that?
It's the first word in it is updated in the file name.
Yes, but it was forwarded twice, so it says forwarded Central Services and other payments.
Chris, I don't have it.
Not in the file name, in the email subject line.
In the email, I'm sorry, subject lines. And the attachments are intercompany fiscal year 19 intercompany payments and fiscal year 20 Pacifica station payments.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Fred?
I can't seem to find it.
I'll forward it to you. I'm changing the subject line for you, Fred, to Central Services.
Chris, you'll need to forward it to me. I cannot find it as well.
That's okay. I'm forwarding it to you now under the subject line Central Services.
Chris, can you just send it to everybody?
Sure, I'll do that.
I just wanted to let people know. Well, I do have copies of it, but I want to say we'll be away from the phone for about 10 minutes. I'm not going to hang up or anything, but I just have to do something and I'll be back. So if you call on me, I won't be here for the next 10 minutes. This is Sharon.
Okay. That's Teresa?
Sharon.
No.
Sharon. Okay, sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead. Yeah. Got it. Okay, I'm forwarding it to the entire group.
Yeah, this is Teresa for Arpal. Arpal, I'm not getting things for some reason. I was on the list. I did receive some things, but all of these, like today, I just got home. I was talking in the car. I have not received the agenda for today, and I have not received anything that we were supposed to receive today. So can you find out what happened and resend things to me?
I am calling this up, looking at management right now, and you appear to not be on the mailing list.
Well, I was. Thought I was, but can you put me back on the mailing list?
I believe I have your email address, and I will send you an invitation within a few moments.
All right,
thank
you.
Look out for that. It'll come from Yahoo, and look in your junk folder. Look around for it. Okay,
thank you.
Teresa, I'll forward you the same Central Services memo that I just sent out to everybody else.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Okay. You guys should be getting that any second now. Mine just showed up, so. It should say Central Services, and mine has a parenthetical remark that says to attend.
James, I just got your emails requesting the PIN code, so I'm a little sorry about that.
Oh, it's okay. I guess it's a little bit slow, so it may take a while, unfortunately.
No worry. Thanks for all your help.
Okay.
And Bill, if I can make a comment or question while we're waiting for everybody to look at that stuff.
Yeah,
please. Go ahead.
I mean, I'm just really, really concerned about the amount we're behind on Central Services. And, you know, I just want to stress how this is not an option for all of our stations. If my station's not paying, and I found some of the months last year we were behind, we got to do something about that. These are for critical services. They're not optional services. This is how we pay NEDA. This is how we pay Rogers to get our audits done. This is how we pay engineering services and other things that are critical for our operations. And I was going to ask Anita, how much do we owe NEDA right now, for example? I remember a few months ago it was $120,000, and I'm afraid it's more now.
Yes, it's about $170,000. And obviously, I've been, quite frankly, the reason that I wanted to get involved is because, like any other small organization, we need to get paid on a timely basis. So I'm very interested in the decision and also, you know, looking at this spreadsheet is very telling, quite frankly.
I'm sorry, was that Fred?
Sorry, it was Nick. I'm sorry, Nick, I didn't realize you were done. I apologize for interrupting you.
It's okay. I was just saying that I'm very interested in knowing the outcome of this. I've just started to review the cash flow. That is part of the, what we'll probably talk about tonight. But it's certainly in a better position than what I expected. But I would agree, this is the opportunity or where funds are available to get certainly not just ATA, but all your other vendors paid on a timely basis.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. That was it wasn't Fred. It was
Nick.
Go ahead, Nick.
So one of the questions that that I had asked, I think at least a month or two ago, was regarding central services. Has there been an analysis of what actually the central services are required, and what has the analysis been of the national office expenses? There's a pretty sharp pencil placed on the individual stations at that same pencil, and a review of what the national office expenses are so that we know actually what we're funding versus the other side. You know, I believe in building a budget based on, you know, looking at what you have to pay for and then what you'd like to pay for. And have we analyzed, too, what the other revenue sources of the national office are, such as what the revenue stream is from the affiliated stations and the other income that the national office receives outside of central services? We keep having these discussions about banging the fists on the desk for the stations to pay their central services, yet we've had no meaningful discussion about the expenses of the national office that I can recall, nor of its income sources. So did I miss that meeting? Did I miss that information, or has it just not been done yet?
Nick, Zanita, I think it has been done. I don't have it handy with me, but we will provide it to you prior to the next call.
Thank you.
Anyone else for the stack? We still have a good 5 minutes left on this item.
Well,
James
Allen,
for the stack.
Teresa Allen for the stack.
Okay. James, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm looking at the central services part, and I see there's a lot of blank spaces for WBAI, and I don't see reflected, and I'm not understanding it correctly, but there was that $70,000 payment that Berthold forwarded to you, Chris, the copy of the check and the email saying, please apply this to central services. Has that been done? Or have you sorted that out yet? Have you figured out where that money went and where it was accounted for?
I don't think.
Anita, I can answer that question, Anita, if you want.
Go ahead. Sure. Go ahead.
So I did a little investigation. That check was made out to Pacifica, so it ended up on the books of the PNO. I mean, if you're asking where the funds went, they went into the PNO account. Now, whether they were credited to WBAI is a question for, I guess, the ED or Anita to answer, but I believe the standard practice, as far as I understand it, would be that they would use that for their own expenses. And it would treat it as income received to the national office. But I'll let Anita fill in the blanks of anything I might have missed there.
I would agree that it was credited. I'm trying to think through what I can provide that would show that. Obviously nothing for today's call, but I will send you the tracking of those funds.
because there would, if it did come in, and it did, that's what I remember from Tamara, is to show you what the other side, what it was credited. And I'm sure it was WBAI.
But it was not credited to Central Services, I see.
No, it was credited, that's what I'm saying, to Central Services for WBAI. It reduced the amount was outstanding.
Where would that be on the spreadsheet? Which...
I'm looking for it now.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Anita, just from my research, the month in question, I believe, would have been December, was received in late November, and I think the deposit was made in December of,
December.
Of last year.
But you're saying not last year. Is that what I heard?
Correct. It would have been December 2018.
Okay.
I think you guys don't have a category for major donor income, I think. So I can't remember what revenue line it was under, but I spotted it there and asked about that. I brought Tamara to confirm that that's where the money ended up. I can see it there and up there.
Okay. That'll be fine. I don't see it, but I don't think I have the right spreadsheet for 2018.
Would it be correct to understand then that that was applied retroactively to pass due Central Services from 2018, but it was actually received in 2019? Is that how that went?
Yes, that's what I understand from Chris. But
thank you. Okay.
I wanted also to add, and I think Bill asked this question of me, when you look further down, child payrolls were being funded for WBAI, or it was outstanding. National was reimbursed August of 2019, but that's when they got that large gift, if you will, bequest, where
right.
A lot of these payments were caught up.
Thank you.
Okay, you're Teresa, welcome. You were in there.
I'm still very confused. So what? So you're WBAI. Gave $70,000. They gave it in November or December of 2019, but you're saying it was applied to what they owed in 2018?
Retroactively, I think, yes, that's what happened. I will
get
confirmation of that.
So can you tell us how much in Central Services WBAI still owes?
Yes. At least we have
the net figure of what is owed.
Yes. Yes. If you look on the spreadsheet, the one that says FY19 for WBAI, if you go all the way the tab over, unpaid of that amount is $185,790.
So that is the net amount that WBAI still owes at this today?
Yes. And then if you look, there's two spreadsheets, and I'm going to consolidate these in the next day or so for you, because I didn't realize that we had them that way. If you look on the other spreadsheet, it's dated FY20. Look at WBAI coming across. for Central Services. They owe $58,710. So that is the for current year. So they, to get the total amount, we would add both outstanding, if you see what I'm saying.
Okay.
The 58. Okay.
Okay. And is it clear how much the other stations still owe to Central Services?
Is it what? I'm sorry?
Is it clear? Now we know how much WBAI owes. They owe $240,000 to Central Services. Is it clear how much the other stations owe?
Yes, yes. And again, if you're looking at the same spreadsheet, FY20, as an example, KPFA for current year, they owe $17,333. FK owes $36,829. And WPFW, if you look at that, column J is $25,614 for current year.
And how about KPFT?
I don't have anything outstanding for them.
Hallelujah!
Or
all right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right.
So what I would recommend is we'll consolidate this for the ease of the reader and for us to be able to go directly to the total amount because we also captured benefit costs on this spreadsheet and also payroll. And there's just a small amount still outstanding for payroll of about $5,900 for WBAI for current year.
For the stack.
Who was that?
Sharon.
Okay, Sharon. This should probably be the last question in this section. We're reaching close to our 20 minutes, so go ahead.
Okay. Well, I only came in for the last part, like I said, but just to clarify the amount, well, first I want to state that looking at the record, of course, in fiscal year 19, KPFA is paid up in full. But when the amount that's unpaid for KPFA, and I presume it's for the other stations as well, I believe it's the, for us at least, it's our, we pay twice a month. So it looks like it's our bi-monthly payment maybe has not been credited yet or something like that. Is that what's going on with the amount that you show owed for KPFA, KPFK, and WPFW, I guess? That's my question.
To my knowledge, all payments are credited here, whereas of February, unless if something has come in March that we're not aware of.
Okay, thank you.
It would be pretty current. It would be very current.
Okay, appreciate it.
All right. So,
Bill, with another quick question?
Okay, Bill.
Okay, sorry.
In the last minute. Okay.
Okay, just back to FY19. One thing I didn't mention, it shows that about $59,000 is also unpaid for health insurance. I assume that's insurance premiums. That's not included in the Central Services above, right? So that's in addition to the $361,000. And then also another about 66,000 PRA, the archives, correct?
Correct.
So they have to add up all three of those numbers to see what we're really short. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, Anita, that would be super helpful if you can combine all of those totals so that we have like a running balance of amounts due for each individual case.
And I will combine them and also we'll provide this monthly if you'd like, or for every call, and then you can see how it's trending.
That would be great. Thank you. All right, so next item up is item 8, which is the cash flow summary discussion. That spreadsheet is very large, and there's a lot of data on it. There's tons of projections, and so we're going to have to dig in to, you know, the assumptions behind the projections to try and figure out what all this stuff means. But if you would like to kick this one off, Anita, and just give kind of a general overview of that spreadsheet, I would appreciate it. I have not had the opportunity to review this at all, so my eyes are as fresh on this as everybody else on this call other than Anita. So go ahead, if you don't mind, Anita.
Okay. Not at all. And I think I might have sent you an email also saying that my eyes were very fresh on this also, but let me start. If you go to the consolidated tab, if you will, what we took is all the revenue from all the different, from the stations, and going all the way across. I'm going now. Lost my column, sorry.
Are we looking at the consolidated now, Anita?
Yes, it's consolidated.
Okay.
For some reason, mine just froze up. Let me reopen it. And if you look at going over to the right-hand side, 2020 estimated, column AO as an example, the cash balance will be estimated at $519,975. You see that? And then, so we can look at, if this is
what
a perfect
line,
world,
hey,
if you will.
Sorry, but I see AO. What line are you? Oh, the very top.
11. 11.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Sure. So what we're saying is if this revenue comes in the way that, and we had staff participation on some and primarily reports that we ran from both data systems, if you will. So if revenue comes in as expected, and you can see beginning on column row 15 on down revenue streams, if you will, all the way down to, you know, expenses going back out to be able to come up with that total of $519,000. Now, I have gotten through some of the revenue, if you will. There's a lot of in any cash flow, we're going to, of course, include all expenses. I do see, and I am unfortunately here, Nico, I see a lot of things that I've, quite frankly, have started to question that maybe I feel we should increase, like line 84. When you look at that total, it gives me a reference number, so I almost feel that that did not add across high. So that is one of the reasons I was kind of hesitant to show it to you until I had an opportunity to review it total. But all the expenses that we show here are coming directly from the stations. All of it, we feel, is obviously a timing estimated, if you will. And then we, of course, have all the tabs for the different stations. So you can look at your own station and be able to look at the expenses on a monthly basis.
Anita, I found the error in that in line 84. It's the telephone expenses for January that are creating that error. So if you delete that cell out, it's AF 84, then it totals. It won't total accurately, but it won't give an error.
Yes, thank you. And I saw another one earlier to keep in mind. Obviously, I probably had had time to review it. I might have caught that. And I don't mind telling you, we actually finished this report today, and that's when I sent it out to Chris. I think it was this afternoon.